When to hold 'em, when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the evening's done. So, all right, so this is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are giving you the opportunity today to hold them or fold them on your Eagles preseason prediction.
Fold them!
If you can't figure it out, fold them means that you are giving up on your preseason prediction. You have a new assessment. We will get back to that in a moment. We started yesterday's show, knowing that one Philadelphia legend, or at least in part Philadelphia, Dikembe Mutombo had passed away. Mm-hmm. And then right after the show, Pete Rose passed away at the age of 82, I think he was.
83.
83 mm-hmm. years old. So Ike has a, you know, growing up in Cincinnati, had a history of sort of the bigger than life Pete Rose.
My introduction to baseball. It's Pete Rose.
And I had a different one here. You know, Pete wasn't in Philly as long as he was in Cincinnati, but was a legendary player here, but was a part of my life when I was a kid. My dad was close with Pete, and I had a lot of interactions with Pete. And my specific interactions with Pete called me Pee Wee McGee when I was a kid. And up until I think I was 40 years old, I was probably on the phone with him, or my dad, you know, called me with him on the phone and was calling me that up until me being a grown up. And Pete was always very kind to me. I actually had the opportunity while he was player manager in Cincinnati to stay at his house. We went there, we stayed there for a few days. And, you know, Pete was integral to the 80 World Series team, as we all know. Also, Pete was, as many people have remarked to me when I said something online yesterday, Pete was not a perfect person. Pete did some really bad things. And I think it illuminates how complicated and gray and I guess interesting the world can be sometimes, because there are good people who do bad things and there are bad people who do good things, and there are, you know, people in this world who are the worst murderers who have friends and family who still love them. And it doesn't to say that, you know, this guy was great at X and I had experience with X is not an endorsement of everything that person ever did. I don't endorse everything Pete Rose ever did. You know, to be honest with you, I don't endorse everything anybody's ever done in their entire lives. I know I consider myself a good person, and there are plenty of people who hate me and say that I'm not a good person. So that is to say that he was a legendary baseball player, one of the greatest hitters who's ever lived, hit king. Yes, and it, in my life, when I was around Pete, Pete was always very kind to me. Mm-hmm. And so I was sad when I learned that Pete, you know, Pete had passed away. And that was my Pete Rose experience.
Yeah, Pete, for me, like I said, he's one of my first childhood heroes when you look at sports figures. Baseball in Cincinnati for so many years meant everything to the city of Cincinnati. You know, we took pride in being the first ever Major League Baseball team. So baseball was the sport in the city up and probably until about 15, 20 years ago when football just took over for everyone. But baseball was the number one sport in that city. It's still the last team to win a world championship in that city from the Cincinnati Reds. But Pete, there are certain things I knew as a kid. Hell, there was math equations I couldn't get through, but I knew what 41-92 meant.
Yes.
And I knew what 42-56. You could throw two numbers at me, 42-56, and I'll still see them as the all-time hits leader in Pete Rose. So those are numbers that are embedded in my brain. And if you're a child anywhere over your 30s, close to 40 years old and older, that's what Pete Rose meant to you coming up in Cincinnati. Born in Cincinnati, went to school in Cincinnati High School. If you had a chance to watch that documentary, it was on Netflix. I watched that about a month ago. That takes you deep into the history of Pete Rose as a player, as a person, the issues he dealt with off the field, and we understand all those things. Those are things that I believe he paid the price for as far as the gambling aspect of it as it pertains to baseball. And he wasn't perfect. He wasn't perfect, but I just, for me, you know, when someone has that sort of impression on you when you're young And it's one of the first reasons why you become a sports fan and why I love sports and why I got into rooting for your home team and all those types of things. You know, Pete Rose is a big reason why that happened, because that dude in Cincinnati was larger than life. Still has his street, Pete Rose Way, down there. That leads into Great American Ballpark. It used to be right where Riverfront Stadium was at, right there on the Ohio River, where the other stadiums sit right now. So, like, yeah, I can imagine down there that there are a lot of people that hurt because of Pete is no longer with us. So, you know, I know you knew him personally. I got a chance to meet him several times. Quick story.
Yeah.
I actually sat with Pete Rose out in Vegas. Out in 05.
Is that when he was signing autographs?
Yes, yep. He was signing autographs out there in 05, and my wife and I were out in Vegas for the NBA All-Star Game, the one Kobe won MVP at. Yeah, we were out there for the NBA All-Star Game, and we're just going through the mall in Vegas. And just happened to walk past this memorabilia store, and there's Pete Rose sitting in there signing autographs. So I go in there, you know, give him this quick song and dance about me being a fan of his and being from Cincinnati, and told him I was with the Falcons at the time. And I told him, no, I played with the Falcons or what have you. And he was like, man, sit down. So I looked at my wife and I'm like, Pete Rose, he want me to sit down here and hang out with him. And I must have sat there with him for about 45 minutes to an hour.
She's talking baseball.
While he's signing autographs and he's just, talking football.
Oh, really?
He wanted to talk football. Like, you know he's into sports, obviously.
Well,
yes.
Trying to find some inside information.
Yes, but that's probably it. I was ignorant and naive to it then. I was just happy to be sitting there. So, yeah, sat there with him, man. And he signed a Pete Rose jersey for me and put this long message on there that I still have, that you know, like I said, Pete Rose, man, he's just one of my first ever sports figures, first sports heroes.
Well, and the thing about your idols is it's nice when they live up to every expectation you have of them as a player and as a person. Most times they don't. But I think what is fair to say is that the bad things happened, but the joy that he brought people also exists. All of those things exist in his history. The bad things that he did exist in his history, and the joy that he brought people exist in his history. And I think it's fine to remember all of those things. And I would say this, when we say rest in peace a lot of times, I don't think there was a ton of peace in Pete's life overall. Pete was a chaotic player, lived a chaotic life, was, I think, you know, angry. And the Hall of Fame thing, I actually don't even care. We all know how good a player Pete Rose was. He's passed away now. To me, it doesn't matter anymore. But he did not find a lot of peace after that and was angry about it a lot. And I hope that at this point, that when I say rest in peace, I truly mean that. I hope Pete is able to rest in peace and find peace with all that. So rest in peace, Pete Rose. Yes, go ahead.
One more real quick. Let me do this because this is another guy who we just found out passed away. Yep. That meant a lot to me also as a child, even as an actor, great actor he was. John Amos passed away today at 84 years old. And if you know who John Amos is, he first came into my life as a character on a sitcom network, on a sitcom television show called Good Times.
Ain't we lucky we got him?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. And Good Times was a huge TV show, especially in the African-American households. And when we like to talk about TV dads or what have you, I know Bill Cosby eventually became America's TV dad at one point before him. He sort of disgraced himself. But this dude here, he's my first ever TV dad, John Amos. That was the guy. I couldn't necessarily identify with Bill Cosby, the doctor and the lawyer, as a husband and a wife and everybody growing up in the same house. But John Amos, James Evans, and my father passed away when I was two. So I didn't really have a dad in the house. John Amos is the dad that every other kid in the neighborhood had as a dad in their household. So rest in peace to the great actor, John Amos, who we all know as James Evans, and he played in a lot of other movies, Coming to America. He played in a lot of other movies.
Yep. Well, he was McDowell's. Life. He owned McDowell's.
Oh, he owned McDowell's,
and Coming to America. It's funny you say he was the dad that everyone had in the black community. I feel like on some level, the Wonder Years dad, I think it was Dan Lario was his name, is like, oh, grumpy dad came home, doesn't feel like talking to the kids, you know, like that sort of thing. So rest in peace as well.
All right.
Now on to sports.
Yes.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design. Find out how to win at 94WIP.com/marks. Okay. Now, Ike is usually very good at guessing these percentages. Here is the Twitter question. As of right now, the Eagles will win more than 10.5 games or lose less, win less than 10.5 games. What do you think the percentage are? Over 10.5 or under 10.5?
Well, today I would imagine it's under 10.5.
What do you think the percentage is?
I don't think it's crazy. I think there's still people out there that want to believe this team is a 10-plus win team. So I'll go with close to 50-50. Let me go with 53%.
Stop talking.
Yeah, it's different. It's higher.
It is higher?
The under number is higher.
Oh, wow. What do you get? Where's it at?
It's higher than 53. It's higher than 60.
Wow.
It's higher than 70.
Wow.
It's 74%.
Oh, I'm completely off. Everybody is feeling pretty down right now.
Yeah, you're going to need to. You can a lot of times swing that pole. You got work to do, brother.
I got a lot of work to do.
Yeah,
man.
You got work to do. 215-592-9494. Reese in North Philly. Reese, are you holding them or are you folding them?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Reese?
Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jared Goff. Love, C.J. Stroud, Mahomes, Herbert, Stafford, Rodgers, Fields, Purdy, Geno Smith, Baker, McDaniels. And even though he's playing bad right now, Trevor Lawrence, if he was on this team with these weapons, all of them quarterbacks is all better than Jalen Average Hurts. And actually, if y'all don't mind, I got Jalen Hurts is the Eagles version of Ben Simmons because, Spike, you're the only person in the world. No, I think I hated Ben Simmons a little more than you, honestly. I'm going to be honest.
Okay. So,
but Jalen stands for just another lame excuse, not the answer.
Yeah, I think the people who are making the excuse. So the Ben Simmons thing flipped almost right away. I think it's an interesting comparison because there were a lot of people that wanted to believe in Ben so badly they ignored the pretty obvious flaws because of the things that were going on and the results and the team was winning and those sorts of things. But the Ben thing flipped right away. I mean, it was the Atlanta thing, the Atlanta series. Everybody went from one side of the Ben Simmons thing to the other. And it does seem like, and it's just a Twitter poll, but yesterday we did one yesterday saying, are you having doubts about the future of Jalen Hurts being the long-term quarterback here? And 80% said yes.
Yeah.
It does seem like, even though he wasn't the worst thing on Sunday, there was something about Sunday's game that have flipped people, and it does not seem like there are the number of defenders, Reese, that you're talking about that were there even a month ago, you know, forgetting about a year ago, a month ago. It seems like it's really different now compared to then.
Spike, the season is over because Jalen Hurts is our quarterback. That's why the season is over.
Now, when did you come to that conclusion?
Well, listen, I'm going to be honest. I've never liked Jalen Hurts. I've been standing on it even when we went to the Super Bowl. I never believed in him in college.
Why have I never heard from you until today?
I'm going to break it down. I'm going to be honest with you. I have not liked Ben Simmons and Jalen Hurts more than any two players that's ever played for my team. I had to listen to the radio station.
Tobias.
I praised Ben Simmons so much, I stopped listening. I stopped calling. I couldn't take it no more. Couldn't take it. When he left, that's when I kind of came back. But this is my first call in a while, because the Ben Simmons supporters was killing me. And that Jalen Hurts supporter, OG Wade, what's his name?
Yes. OG Wade.
Oh,
yes,
my God. Oh, my. This now I have to come. But check my Twitter. Everybody know I don't like Jalen Hurts and Ben Simmons more than anybody. I like my ex-mom more than I like them, too.
Ah. Wow. Okay.
Wow. Well.
You heard that comparison before.
Yeah, you certainly laid it out there pretty clearly.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't even matter for me to ask you about any other portion of the team.
Season's over with.
So, yeah. All right, Reese.
Once Jalen gone, then we'll be back up. But right now, we done. And one last thing.
Yes.
Jalen stands for just another lame excuse, not the answer.
Wow.
Yeah. Much Jalen,
Yeah, I was going to say not the answer part. I got you. Kind of lumped all that in together.
It's not bad, though. He did a pretty good job.
He worked on that. He had long enough to work on it. Yeah.
He's waited 6 years to call. Yeah.
Yes.
Just another lame excuse.
Not the answer.
Not the answer.
Yes.
Jalen Antha.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
It's good. It's good work.
It's not bad.
I like Jag.
Just another guy.
Just another guy. Just a guy. Just a guy.
Oh, just a guy. Is it just a guy?
Just a guy. Jag okay. is just a guy. Yeah, yeah. Rich in Harrisburg, you're on WIP. What's up, Rich?
Well, first of all, I got a revise from my 13 and 4.
Yeah.
And I got to go down to 12 and 5.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good.
Okay, so only one win fewer.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm looking at the schedule, and I figure they're going to be probably 7-4 going into, you know, through their first 11 games.
So okay. 7-4. So who do you got the next two losses to?
Probably L.A. And let me see. I think
Baltimore. You got Baltimore on there. You got to get. They right, have to go to Baltimore. That's a tough one.
Yeah, you do have Cincinnati on right, there.
Right. They're going to. Right. I think it's going to be tough to pull that one out.
Yeah.
And then over the rest of the season going to be really tough. Going on. They're going to. I think they're for some reason. That Washington is going to, the Commanders are going to come over there, and so is Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh is never an easy win. Think, so
yeah. Commanders might actually be good. Thank you for the. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh. Yeah. No, I was. Thank you for the call, Rich.
Do you think we would split with the Commanders now? I had them sweeping the Commanders.
So I had them splitting with the Commanders and splitting with the Giants. I had them splitting with everybody.
Yeah, I think. Splitting, so going 3-3 in the division?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I had them.
So. Yeah, I had them sweeping the Giants, obviously, but I had them sweeping the Commanders. Had to revise that.
Yeah.
And then they'll probably split with the Cowboys and the Commanders. So I got them at 4-2 in the East.
If they beat the Giants both times.
Yeah, if they beat the Giants both times, yeah.
The speak of the devil, Reese comes at him, and O.G. Wade comes out of his hole. O.G., you're on WIP.
Fellas, how we doing today? Hey, yo, y'all dudes is funny. This has got to be the best radio ever for the Eagles to be in the situation that they're in right now. Y'all, you punks couldn't have dreamt this one up any different. You know what I'm saying?
It's not good for us.
You know, and I kind of think you're kind of behind all of this. I don't know where you in there, but somewhere in there, you might have pulled the long thing with us. With this Eagle thing, because I know you do the little post-game show, you do your shows, and you got contact with the coach and the players. So you might have told them, let's drop this one so we can do the good radio this week.
Oh, you're talking to Ike.
Oh, you're talking about me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anybody over there.
What
yeah.
happened now?
Yeah. Oh,
he's saying
you might have, pulled a quickie on us.
He's saying that you convinced the team to lose so we would have good radio for the next 2 weeks.
I agree.
Yeah. OG, I have to be honest with you. When they're bad, when they play bad, it certainly gives us stuff to talk about, but it's better when they win for all of us. So it's never good when they lose.
Well, we can play regardless.
Yeah, yeah. We can find
it. Let me say this here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
especially you, Spike. You're fine to chill, my God. Mm. And that idiot that just got off talking about, here's one thing that y'all guys, when y'all talking about what other quarterbacks could come here and do better with this team, with these weaponries, understand this here. If it wasn't for Jalen, A.J. Brown wouldn't be here.
Oh, stop.
If it wasn't for Jalen.
They traded for him.
If it wasn't. And who you think.
They traded.
No, he's saying Jalen was the one who was encouraging Howie to do it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Howie didn't know A.J. Brown was good.
No, he's the one that put it in motion.
He did. You got to give him credit.
Then you know what? Then he should be better at the guy who can get people the ball. A.J. Brown, I'm sure, is thrilled that his quarterback can't throw a ball 30 yards to a running back who's opened by 7 yards. Yeah.
Well, did you? I don't know if you've seen the All-22. Did you?
Stop.
Oh, you just seen the TV version, right?
Stop.
You seen the TV version when he came open after Jalen was damn near out of bounds and throwing the ball on the run.
So he threw it to him.
Don't know.
Yeah.
The All-22 actually makes it look worse, OG.
Yeah. Yeah. The sideline view makes it look worse. The sideline view makes it look way worse.
Chase. So what? He missed a throw.
No.
So what? Even if that was the case,
he's not good. He's not good enough, OG. He's not good enough at the things that quarterback needs to be good at. He's not. He's not right now.
You're going to learn you're going to learn to listen to the OG.
No, I'm not.
And I'm gonna wait for this day. I'm going to wait for it, and I'm going to tell you, Spike, instead of me, like, pushing you back and telling you you can't get up, I'm going to allow you to get on. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Pause. But I'm going
to allow
you to get on the wagon, I mean, you know. And I'm not going to get upset with you and Jack, you know, although I can say this here. My passion is patience, because every time we get into this situation, Eagles turn it around.
Except for last year when they didn't turn it around.
Right. Hold on. Then everybody said, you know what? You was right about Jalen, OG.
So what's he doing well this year, OG? What's he doing well?
Say that again.
What's he doing well?
What he's doing well is he's obviously learning a new offense. Uh-huh. He's trying to get on the same page with his receivers as he learns a new offense. This is the stuff.
Josh Allen got a new offensive coordinator in the middle of the season and got better immediately. Jalen Hurts has had an entire training camp has fewer touchdown passes than Daniel Jones and more interceptions.
Listen, the reason why Josh Allen appeared to get better. Look at the teams that he was playing against. When he finally played the team, which was Sunday, look what happened. Look what happened.
How many turnovers did he have on Sunday? How many turnovers did he have on Sunday?
He dropped five damn interceptions.
How many? Jalen Hurts leads the NFL in turnover-worthy plays. Number one, nobody's done it more. That has nothing to do with Devontae Smith running a bad route. It has nothing to do with this guy. It has nothing to do with the offensive coordinator. It has to do with the quarterback leads the league in turnover-worthy plays. He's playing bad. And if you can't admit he's playing bad, and you literally can't come up with one thing, because now when the team loses and he plays bad, you clowns don't even have your, he wins. And then when they lose, it's everybody else's fault. So when they win and he plays bad, he's leading them to wins. Leading them to wins. But when he plays bad and they lose, what is happening? I thought all he does is win. What is their record in their last 11 games?
Jalen, so first of all, I'm with Nick Sirianni on this. I don't count their last 11 games.
Of course not.
We're 2-2. That team.
Is that good? Is 2-2 good?
That's a different team.
Is 2-2 good?
Different team.
Is 2-2 good?
Yes, it is. Yes. Right.
Nope. That guy's going to have to admit, next time he comes on the show, he's going to have to admit Jalen's playing bad. Or he's not going to be able to come on the show anymore.
Oh, well, let's not
do
that.
We need OJ.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Come on.
Well, you can't get everybody to agree with you. You need the people who disagree with you.
Well, he's not playing good.
Well, I know, but it's great to have the people who don't care about that. They still view him a certain way.
Well, then he's going to have to hold
on.
If
we all agreed with each other, then we'd have boring radio.
You know he's going to be able to come on the show.
I'm just talking.
Come on. I need him.
Just talking?
I need him. I need his lunacy. Makes me sound smarter. Makes me sound like I know what he's talking about.
What do you do?
So, Elliot Shore Parks will join us next. Every Tuesday, we have Tuesdays with Elliot, 3 to 4 p.m.
This ought to be fun.
Well, we have a lot to talk about with Elliot. First of all,
Do I have anything to argue with him over today?
Well, Kellen. We'll get into Kellen Moore, because there's been, you know, we have some great sound from Chase Daniel talking about Jalen's adaption to the new offense. We have some sound from Michael Irvin and Rex Ryan on Jalen as well. And I think one question that we've had over the last couple of days is and Jack's mentioned it several times, that the offense looks similar to the previous offense, and people are suspicious that this is Nick Sirianni's influence on Kellen Moore and not, you know, Kellen Moore or maybe Jalen Hurts or whatever. So we'll go over all of that with Elliot next. And Elliot asked the question that is all over sports media is, do you and Nick, you know, talk to each other about what you're going to say to the team? And Jalen said, we have our moments. So,
I thought he said occasionally. Oh, he said we have our moments.
We have our moments. So
occasionally would probably be worse, right?
Yeah. We have our moments is a better clip.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's a better clip. Right. So, and we will ask Elliot, the same question that we're asking you on Hold'em or Fold'em Day on the WIP Afternoon Show. Are you holding or folding your preseason predictions with the Philadelphia Eagles? 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.